Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many, very many, in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." The title of the message for this morning is "Down in the Valley." This was a scene like nothing that Hollywood has ever imagined. In fact, only the Spirit of God could imagine such a scene. And only in the Spirit of God could it ever have been witnessed by a human being. But that's exactly what happened to the prophet Ezekiel in the passage that is before us this morning. In the Spirit, God took Ezekiel to a valley and showed him a disaster area that would literally blow your mind. Ezekiel starts out with the story by saying, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord." Now, this was a supernatural encounter. This was a supernatural intervention into the life of a natural man. And we see God taking hold of Ezekiel and lifting him above the everyday existence. He lifted him outside his normal routine and beyond his natural senses. And what he experienced here was a vision from God, one that was straight from the very Spirit of Almighty God. I want us to understand this morning, that it was God's hand that carried Ezekiel off in the Spirit. And what was their destination? Ezekiel goes on to tell us exactly where he was taken and what he observed while he was there. He says that the Lord set me down in the midst of the valley. Now, Ezekiel had been in such a place before. On that previous occasion, found in Ezekiel chapter 3, we find that he saw in that place the glory of the Lord with such an awesomeness that the Bible says he fell on his face. Well, the scripture tells us that Ezekiel, as he was there, he glanced all around at this broad valley that the Lord had brought him to, and he saw something that was totally unimaginable. The valley was full of bones. Now, it was not just a pile of bones here and a pile of bones there, but the valley was totally filled full of bones. It's kind of like the President of the United States being flown over the disaster area of New Orleans in a helicopter. Well, Ezekiel was given a full tour of this strange and gruesome sight. The Lord allowed him a careful inspection of this vast accumulation of human skeletal remains. Verse 2 says, "And he caused me to pass by them round about." That simply means that the hand of God took Ezekiel around and guided him among those bones. Verse 2 continues, "And behold, there were very many bones in this open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Now, these were not just several bones, but there were many bones. There were skull bones, there were shoulder blades, there were kneecaps, there were ribs and femurs and vertebrae and hip bones and ankle bones and finger bones. All of them were there by the thousands. And they were not only drab or stale, but the Bible said they were dry. In fact, it said they were very dry. as if they had been laying there in that valley on public display, dead and exposed and baking in that hot sun for a long, long time. God would soon issue a particular command to Ezekiel in regard to these parts and brittle bones. But first, God has a probing question that he wants to ask him. And so he says in verse 3, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live again?" Ezekiel had just surveyed this vast and bizarre scene. He could not escape the conclusion that life and vitality were totally non-existent in these bones. Now, bones are organic formations developing only as a part of some living creature. Where there are bones, then of necessity, there was once life. But in these dry bones filling the valley before Ezekiel's very eyes, it's obvious that life was long gone. Now, the question posed to Ezekiel by God was this. He said, "Son of man, can these bones live again? Could there be life again where life has obviously totally departed? Can strength and movement and energy and responsiveness somehow reappear in those bones that are so utterly dead? The bodies have been decayed away, leaving nothing but bones, and they're bleached and disconnected. Is such a miracle possible?" God wanted to hear Ezekiel's answer. "Ezekiel, is it possible that these bones can live again?" Just as he sometimes wants us to carefully analyze our own situation, and maybe there are some problems in our lives, some difficulties that we're facing, and we wonder, can this ever work out? Can it ever work out? Perhaps we've concluded that a way out or remedy or resolution was totally impossible. The condition of our circumstances sometimes seem hopeless, but that's not really the case. God requires a response from Ezekiel, and so Ezekiel gave him one. He said, "And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Now, when people say only God knows, what are they saying? "I don't know. I don't know." Well, Ezekiel said, "Only God knows." Ezekiel was no fool. He realized that he did not possess the answer. He knew that there are some things that only God can take care of and only God has the answer for. He was confessing, "Lord God, this is bigger than me. I cannot myself make these bones live again. And Lord, I don't know anybody else can do it. Lord, if there's anybody that can make these bones live again, it's you." He said, "God, I don't know, but you do." Ezekiel recognized the impossibility when he saw it. But he did not forget that God is the God of the impossible. He realized that he was serving a God that could take those dead, bleached, dried out bones. He could take the people of Israel that had been in Babylonian captivity and they had turned away from God. They were cold and callous. They were powder dry. But he could revive them. He could come in and give them life and vitality. He could come in and turn their life totally around. Well, Ezekiel must have sensed already who these bones represented. Even if he hadn't, God made some, he made the meaning very clear. In verse 11, God said, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel." Now here's the devastating reality of this whole matter. God's people were nothing more than a valley full of wretched bones, pathetic and passionless and useless. This is an accurate depiction of their spiritual condition. I'm going to tell you, church folks can come into church Sunday after Sunday and they can get just as dry as powder. They can lose the joy. They can lose the thrill and the life and the vitality of their relationship with the Lord, and they can just go through the motions. God help us this morning that we'll let the Lord come and revive these dead bones even here in our congregation. What would you and I see today if God were to grant us the personal vision of the true reality of our own spiritual condition? That if we could really see from heaven's portals and see ourselves as God sees us, would we be pleased with what we see this morning? For example, if God were painting a picture of the spiritual condition of our nation, what would it look like? I'm afraid this morning that our nation would be painted in a very grim picture. How would God see the spiritual condition of our church? You know, there are times that we ought to all just stop and analyze and look at our lives. And if we're not all that God wants us to be, then it's our fault. And we need to come to God and bow before Him on our knees and say, God, be merciful to me. Give life to these bones. Give vitality to my soul. I want to be in the center of your will. In this vision, God gave Ezekiel a clear image of just how the nation of Israel looked from his perspective. The vision that showed, spiritually speaking, that God's people were missing something very critical. In fact, that something very critical was life. They didn't have life and breath. The whole house of Israel was this way. The entire nation, the Bible said, they were all dead and dry. And their miserable inner condition was just as bleak as their outward circumstances. At this time, they were exiled from their homeland. They were in Babylonian captivity. And physically, they felt inwardly drained of vitality. They were spiritually disconnected and without hope. Let me tell you something that is far worse than physical dryness and emptiness, and is spiritual dryness and emptiness. Inwardly, they felt cut off. They felt severed from life and vitality. Their condition was perfectly captured in that vision of dry bones that Ezekiel had. There's no one to go to for help because you see the one next to you, it's in the same condition you're in. Wouldn't it be awful not to have a Christian to go to? Wouldn't it be awful to not have anybody that you could go and ask them to intercede on your behalf, to pray for you, to counsel you, to give guidance to you, to help you in your relationship with the Lord? Wouldn't it be an awful thing? Spiritual dryness and dejection and disconnectedness had become a way of life. It was their norm. Well, when it gets like that, it's time to do something. In fact, it's a time to move to action. God was going to perform a miracle, and he was going to use Ezekiel, the prophet of God, to bring it about. In fact, the Bible says that God is going to speak, and he's going to speak through his word to his prophet. And we know the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We know his word can pierce deeply into the innermost delineation of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a very discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God said, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy over these bones. And I want you to say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In verse 5 and 6, God gave Ezekiel a promise that he was to announce to all of the people. He said, tell them this. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Notice what God was promising. Absolutely everything that these bones needed in order to become living, active beings again. God said, everything that you need in order to be vital and active and alive and spiritually right with God, he said, I'll give to you. I'll give to you. He promised life, sustaining breath. He also promised tendons and muscles and skin. These bones would be completely restored unto living, breathing, active creatures. And more than that, they would be restored to the knowledge of Almighty God. They would know again, afresh and anew, that he was God, and beside him there was none other. Amen. Ezekiel did exactly what God told him to do. He spoke to those dead, dry bones, gave them the message of God, and guess what happened? The Bible says that Ezekiel prophesied and there was a noise in the valley. I'm going to tell you, it was a noise that we were all listening for. And it can happen again today. There was a noise and there was a shaking. And the bones started coming together. Bone to his bone. Every bone in his place. All of those thousands of bones started coming together and they formed skeletons that were laying there on the ground. Ezekiel could now see thousands of full human skeletons, a valley full of them. But the miracle continued. As sinew and flesh came upon the bones, and then skin covered the sinew and the flesh, and the dead, dry bones had actually become human-shaped bodies again, lying on the ground, but there was no breath in them. At the command of God, Ezekiel prophesied to the winds, and the winds obeyed from the four corners of the earth. It said breath came into those lifeless bodies, and they all became alive, and they stood at the very feet. An exceeding great army. Where Ezekiel had before seen a valley full of wasted, wretched, scattered bones, now he looks out and he sees an awesome sight of a vast and a mighty host of living beings that were making up a mighty army for their God. The promise was about restoration or resurrection and restoration. It was a promise of life from God's Spirit and a promise about knowing God and experiencing his faithfulness. We're talking about resurrection this morning. It won't be long until Easter will be here, but we don't have to wait until Easter to talk about the resurrection. You see, I'm glad to know that our Lord can take those old, wretched, dried sinners, and he can put life in them. Amen. I'm glad that he reached down and picked me up out of sin. I'm glad he breathed into my nostrils the breath of spiritual life when I, by faith, accepted him as my personal Savior. I'm glad that he raised me up from the deadness of sin to the newness of life, to walk in him. I'm glad that he took away all of my sins and gave me that abundant life here. But more than that, he wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's given me eternal life there. And he's done that for all of you that are Christians here this morning. Aren't you glad He can take an old wretched nothing and make something out of it. Aren't you glad that he can reach down and pick us up out of sin? Well, that's God's message to us today. He has a supernatural turnaround awaiting all of those who will look to him for help. If you'll call upon him, he'll listen and he'll respond. In life, we must face some tough times. In the valley, we become dehydrated and we become sucked dry of life and vitality. Being honest, we have to admit to God, I don't know, Lord, if you can fix me or not. Well, I've dealt with folks that said, preacher, I'm too bad for God to fix. No, you're not. I don't care who you are. If you'll call out to God, if you can feel his call on your life, you're not too bad. And God will forgive you of your sins. You don't have to give up. You don't have to run away. No matter how dry that you may be and how hopeless your case may be, the question is, can these bones live again? Yes, they can. He will cause the breath of life to come into you. They can thrive again because, you see, our God's in the miracle business. And he delights, I can tell you this morning, he delights in taking that sinner that everybody's given up on, and they say there's no hope for him, he's gone too far. God delights reaching down, picking him up out of sin, washing him white as snow, giving him eternal life in the place of that eternal death. And he gets up, and all of a sudden his language is changed, his walk is changed, his talk is changed. Everything about him is changed. Why? Because God gave him new life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you want that new life? The good news is you can have it this morning. Let's bow for prayer.